Father, I truly do thank you. And Father, I praise you and I give you all honor and all glory for all that you're doing, what you've already done through praise and worship, and for what you're going to do through the teaching. And Father, I'm asking right now that you open up the spiritual ears and the spiritual understanding so that we can see, hear, and know what's going on in our lives. Father God, you are the all-knowing and all-seeing God, and there is absolutely nothing that you will allow to come into our lives that you have all not already have not foreordained. So we can walk in peace and surety of heart, knowing that you are in full, total, and complete control of all things, no matter what our eyes see. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, I'm going to talk about miracles, and there's a price for miracles. Miracles are supernatural acts. Now, a miracle is a surprising and welcome event that is not explainable by natural or scientific laws and is therefore considered to be the work of a divine agency. It is God who performs all miracles. He uses our vessels to work through, to perform those miracles. So always remember that it is not you that is doing it. It is always God doing it. And as long as you submit yourself to God, your vessel to God, and say, God, I no longer live, but it's you that lives in me. And Father, you use me any way you want to use me. And then make sure you don't let your mind click back in there again, but keep your mind out of it. And then just let God move through you. He will do things that you never thought of doing. Miracles happen every day of your lives. This is God speaking. You just do not know how to recognize them. A miracle can occur in many different ways. The reason my children are always saying, where are the signs, wonders, and miracles, is because they are not looking for the correct thing. God goes on to say, look around about you each and every day, and I guarantee you that you will begin to see miracles everywhere. When a bird sings, that is a miracle. When a baby is born, that is a miracle. When the flowers bloom, that is a miracle. We can go on and on and on. But I want to teach you more of my miracle working strategy. God said the biggest miracle that could ever occur is the changes I make within your temple to prepare you for my use. Children, the first thing you need to understand is where miracles come from. Miracles come from above, and miracles are poured out because of my love for the vessel that I created. The die has been cast, and every miracle I'm ever going to perform is already in the making. You see, I always plan everything out before it ever occurs. I never do anything haphazardly, and I am never caught off guard by anything that occurs all across this land. All must understand that I am a miracle-working father, and I so delight in showering my children with miracle after miracle. Look at my word. Was not the way the earth was created a miracle? Absolutely. Can you place the stars in the sky and name each and every one of them? Can you put the heavens above and the earth beneath? Can you place the oceans in their rightful place, draw a line and say no further? And that comes out of Job 38:1-41. What the problem, I'm hearing God say, what the problem with the body of Christ is, we are so concentrated on the negative that we don't see the positive and therefore don't see the miracles that God wants to perform in our lives. When we look at our children, we see the negative and we don't see the positive. We don't see the miracle that God is working on. He always tells me I'm working behind the scenes. So what I see before me is not the finished product. It's the product that God is working on. And whenever he's finished, it will be a perfect product. So if you're dealing with people, you know, loved one, children, spouse, whatever, what you see is not what you're going to get. Because when God is finally finished with them, they're going to be just like Jesus. We can't throw them out to the dogs. We have to keep loving them, and we have to keep talking to them and only say what Jesus is telling you to say to them, because if you just start yelling and carrying on out of your own flesh, you're going to lose them. I don't know about you, but I can always tell when it's God speaking, because just all of a sudden out of the blue, he just starts talking to somebody. I haven't planned it or nothing. He just starts talking. He makes sure we get together, and next thing you know, there he is. And when he lays it out, it's laid out in such a way that they don't feel condemnation. They don't feel hate. They feel love, and they feel compassion. And even though they don't agree with it, they know it's God. All right? And they think about it. You might not think that they don't hear you, but they definitely do hear you. All right? Miracle after miracle. And God said, children, throw all of your inhibitions to the side and just allow me to use your vessels to perform any miracle I so desire to perform. You have not been seeing lasting miracles occur for a couple of decades now because of the doubt and unbelief that has been allowed to infiltrate my houses. My houses should be full of miracles. That's this house. One after another. You talk about miracles, but do you really see miracles? So here we are, we're talking and we're talking and we're talking and we're not seeing them. All right? We're guilty. We don't get an A on this one, right? You say a miracle happened when you prayed, but the next day that miracle is not there. No, I tell you that you have not seen real miracles. Real miracles occur and last. They do not just fade away because the night has passed. And God goes on to say, so you see, little ones, you have not yet encountered the everlasting miracle working power that I need you to walk in. And I tell you, before this year ends, miracles will flood this earth. And I so desire that you be right in the very center of the miracle working power. Stay close to me and allow me to be the one to keep the anointing continually flowing through you. God dictated this to me for this service tonight. So this is all for you guys. He knew who was going to be here. So don't think this is for another church. It's for this church. I don't preach to another church. This is for you people. And this is what God desires out of you. And what did he desire? And I so desire that you be right in the very center of the miracle working power. Stay close to me and allow me to be the one to keep the anointing continually flowing through you. Allow me to use you as a vessel of honor that will lead the unbeliever into my kingdom of light. Church, rise to the calling I have placed upon you in this dispensation of time. Let's stop there. God has said in the past that what he's going to do with the people that have addictions, he's just going to yank them right up out of them. And he's going to anoint them to go forth and to preach. We're not going to have a deliverance, not going to have to go to a halfway house, but God is going to just supernaturally just perform a miracle and set them free. I have been reading stories where this is happening already. And the people that are being set free from their addictions are actually out there preaching the gospel. Some have their own church, some are on the road as evangelists, but they are doing exactly what God said he's going to do. Why are we not seeing it in this house? I'm not worried about the rest of Delaware. Why are we not seeing it in this house? All right. I'm talking to me too. I want us all to think about that. You cannot, God said, you cannot be a miracle carrier if you're still having issues with a brother or sister. And that is the truth. And I am not going to alter that truth for anybody. So if you want to be a miracle carrier, what do you have to do? Forgive, forget, hug, kiss, and forget, right? And don't go back to it. Don't think about it. Don't entertain the thoughts that the enemy places in your mind, because if you do, you cannot be a miracle carrier. And I told you this morning that not everybody is going to, even though the Bible says they can, not everybody's going to do that, do the things that God says we can do, because they're not going to yield their bodies and they're not going to forgive and forget. That's a shame. You don't know what it is to walk in constant miracle power, or you wouldn't be sitting there just looking, well, blah. You would say, God, whatever is wrong in me, correct it, so because I want to be a miracle carrier once again. Okay? God said, you say you love me, but you still cannot truly love your brother or sister. The biggest miracle you ever see is when you can honestly wash your brother and sister's feet and truly accept them for who they are. Sometimes when your brother and sister's jumping all over your head, calling you all kind of names, causing you all kind of vexation to your soul, it's really hard to wash their feet. Honestly, that's honesty, right? But God is saying that's what you have to do. Jesus washed his disciples' feet. And if Jesus could wash his disciples' feet, then we need to do the very same thing. John 13:12 says, when Jesus finished washing their feet, you know, the disciples' feet, he put on his clothes and went back to the table. He asked, do you understand what I did for you? You call me teacher and you call me Lord, and this is right because that is what I am. I am your Lord and teacher, but I washed your feet, period. So you also should wash each other's feet, period. I did this as an example for you. So you should serve each other just as I served you. Believe me, servants are not greater than their master. Those who are sent to do something are not greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, great blessings will be yours if you do them. One time when, with my second husband, him and I were having a hard time, and God spoke to me, said, I want you to wash his feet. So I went and washed his feet, and he got all upset. He said, well, I'm going to wash yours too. I say, I knew what God was saying to me. He's messed up, and you are my servant, so you know better than he does. So I want you to wash his feet, become his servant, and show him compassion, love, and grace until I can get him straightened up. But you know what we do as a body of Christ, we're supposed to be just like Jesus, but we act just like the world. After all, you do me dirty, I'm sure not going to wash your feet. I'm not going to be your slave. And that isn't how it's supposed to work. Are you listening? God says, you talk about loving the unlovable, but in the same breath, you come against the ones I have placed over you. But that is nothing new. I placed my son Jesus over you, and you came against him also. You blasphemed him, and you totally neglected the weightier issues. Amen. Come on. But what does Jesus say are the weightier matters of the law? In Matthew 23:23 says, Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe mint, dill, and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. It is these you ought to have practiced without neglecting the others. See, the body of Christ can't quite get it together and do everything we're supposed to do. We either do one and let go of the other, or we do one all the way and then half of the other. We have to do it all. And this is not an easy task to do. If you truly want to be just like Jesus, you will have to work continually day in and day out to keep yourself at the feet of Jesus and be just like Jesus and be the servant God is calling you for to be. Your mind is screaming, kill them, Lord, kill them. But God's heart is saying, pray for them so I can save them. You see what I'm saying here? But look what they just did to me. Well, look what they did to Jesus. I want you people to really think about this tonight. The world does not know what they're doing. The enemy has their mind so twisted that they can't comprehend good from evil anymore. But your mind is not supposed to be twisted. Your mind is supposed to be pure and sane. And you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. It's up to you to guide these people into the path that God wants them guided into. If you don't do it, who's going to do it? God will remove people out of your life that just aren't going to straighten up. I can guarantee you he does. So it's not your job to try to remove them out of your life. It's your job to say, God, you know all things. I place them into your hands as you're gritting your teeth and stomping your feet. Come on, we do that. We're human. It's hard sometimes to be a doormat. Are you listening here? But Jesus He gives us the strength. He gives us the ability to do the things that we have to do. God said, open up your blind eyes this night and allow me to anoint them with eye salve so you can, why? So you can see the truth and then allow the truth to set you free. For it is in freedom that great signs, wonders, and miracles occur always, not just now and then, but always. For 20-some years, I knew what it was to walk in signs, wonders, and miracles always. And then whenever God told me I'm shutting down, I'm removing my Holy Spirit from the churches because they are spitting on my Holy Spirit, and I'm removing healing and everything else from the body. That was a bad state to be in, because when you're used to living with the Holy Spirit, then all of a sudden, the only time you feel the Holy Spirit is when you're preaching or when you're talking to God, when he's not a constant thing around about you, you feel like you'd rather be dead than alive. And God's trying to get us to that place again where the Spirit will be constant around us. And, you know, we'll feel the life of the Holy Spirit continually. And we'll be able to deal with whatever the enemy dishes out to other people that God places in our lives. Do you know how many divorces would not happen if husbands and wives were led by the Holy Spirit? The minute two people get married, the devil's right there to just throw everything he has from hell into that marriage. He doesn't want that marriage to exist. He doesn't want the world to see what a godly marriage is like. Every wedding, in fact, I said one time, I'm not doing any more weddings, because every time I do a wedding, the people, after a couple months, they're fighting and they're divorcing. Why waste my time and their time and God's time? But see, they didn't fight the enemy. They fought one another. I'm sorry, when you meet somebody, they are not what you think they are. But once you marry them, then you know exactly who and what they are. And sometimes you say, oh, why didn't I see this before? Too late. Too late. Now you have to get on your knees and ask God to give you grace till he gets that person straightened out. Revelation 3:17 says, you say, this is Jesus speaking, you say you are rich, you think you have become wealthy and don't need anything, but you don't know that you are really miserable, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I advise you to buy gold from me, gold made pure in fire. Then you will be rich. I tell you this, buy clothes that are white. Then you will be able to cover your shameful nakedness. I also tell you to buy medicine to put on your eyes. Then you'll be able to see. In other words, God's saying change. Change and become like my son, Jesus. Let me put my eye salve on your eyes so you can see as I see. Let me take off those filthy rags and dress you in white. And see, people don't allow Jesus to do that. They think that just going into the house of God, they have a seat in heaven. That's not true. I don't care what you say, it's not true. Once saved, always saved is not true. God said you have to work out your salvation. How? Daily. So that's not true. Once saved, always saved. All right, anoint your eyes with eye salve was a prescription offered by Jesus to the first century Christian congregation in Laodicea, Asia Minor. This was not a literal disease of the eyes, but spiritual blindness that needed treatment. Worthy of note is the fact that this eye salve has to be bought. There is a cost involved. You hear that? It's costly. Time must be expended to study and meditate on the Word of God so we can be more like Jesus and less like the world. Some of you need to quit watching your things on your TVs and on your little games you play, and you need to spend that time studying the Word of God and having the Holy Spirit reveal what the Word's really saying to you. God said, you say you came to a miracle service, but you don't fully understand what kind of miracle service I was speaking about. The biggest miracle you ever see is your complete transformation from the old to the new. You say I'm a brand new wineskin and God can fill me full of new wine, but not so. It is not until you can love all peoples, that you will be ready to carry this new wine. The enemy will always send a thorn your way, and I know you will have difficulty with a few of them, but you must at all costs learn to love unconditionally. Whenever your love walk starts waning, God's going to send you a lot of thorns. He's going to teach you to love the unlovable. So the quicker you learn that lesson, the quicker your thorn is going to go away. That is the truth. That's an miracle. I said that's an absolute. God says, for this is surely the last hour, and the great works must be accomplished in you first, and then carry this great works into a lost and dying world. This is a miracle service, but this evening the miracle is you becoming like my son, Jesus. One time, a couple years ago, maybe three, 4 years ago, I held a miracle service. Church was packed out. I thought, wow, look at all these people coming here. And I said, we had chairs everywhere. And I said to this one man, I said, how come you come tonight? He said, anybody that has guts to say they're going to, miracle's going to happen, I had to come and see what's going on. And, you know, and I don't know what he was expecting to see, but, you know, it wasn't, I know it wasn't what he was expecting to see, but God did great things that night in the service. But I always remember that and have to grin to myself that just because I used the word miracle, he came out to see what was going on. You know, and that's what draws people to Jesus is miracles. So we can really, you know, say there is miracles going on. And somebody comes to see the miracle, and they go out and say, wow, you should have been there and seen what happened. Then you're going to stir up the interest of other people, and they're going to want to come and see Jesus for themselves. All right? Come on, you guys, you've got to get this together. I don't know where you're from. I don't know what you're doing. But, you know, God is trying to teach you something. He is going to bring signs, wonders, and miracles in great and mighty ways. And he wants you to partake of these great signs, wonders, and miracles. You know, God did many great, wonderful things through me. But the one thing I always think about is whenever I was trying to fold that tarp and the wind wouldn't quit blowing. And you and I said, wind in the name of Jesus, you will cease, and I'm going to fold this tarp. And the wind ceased right where I was standing, blowing in the trees and everything else. And I took my good old time of folding that tarp. And when I was all done, I said, you can start blowing again now. And it did. I mean, that sticks out. I mean, God has really done miracles, healings, and everything. But that just sticks out to me. I had power over the wind. And I told you can't blow until I tell you to. And then I was a little cocky, you know, it took me a good old time, you know, how you are. You're the same as I am. But I let the devil see that I knew that my God could stop that wind. Why don't you try something sometime? Just see, you know, I was mad, though, because I couldn't get this tarp folded. And I needed to get that thing done. So maybe you need to get a little bit of anger up at the devil for blowing the wind where you're working and just tell him that you're going to stop, cease your maneuvers now in the name of Jesus, and then just watch Jesus work. Because what we learned this morning is God said, whatever you place your hands to do, see, I said when you are going to stop. So when I said that, God took over. Are you understanding this? And so you're going to have to take the first step of faith. And then let God take over. When God allowed me to raise the dead, I had to be the one to say, you know, to talk to that dead person, tell them to come alive. I always think about the one who died three times in the hospital, and he said, God, open up the curtains of heaven and let him see me down there with my, you know, I was sitting beside his bed praying quietly. And I prayed him back three times while he was in there in 30 days. And he said, God said, you have to go back. He said, I don't want to go back. He said, see that young lady down there? She's saying she wants you back. I have to answer her prayer. Now, do you have that much, you know, clout with God? He said that happened three times. I know he died three times. They come in here and say, well, he's gone. I said, no, he's not. No, he's not. Don't you dare touch anything. He's getting ready to take everything off him. So the nurse, she left, and they come back. He said, he's still alive. And then the last time he said, okay, I'm not going to tell God. I'm not going to tell God that I'm not coming back. He said, I'll leave here. It was in October. I'll say October the 10th. October the 10th, they checked him out of the hospital. But he said, there you were. You wouldn't quit praying. So how many of you have been praying for something and you gave up? When God wanted to answer your prayer, but you gave up. Come on. And I'm thinking, how come you don't stay alive? You know, it's because he didn't want to be there. But at that point, you know, I didn't know that, but then I really didn't care. And so I kept praying life back into him. All right. When I hit the dog on the head with a broom, I'm just trying to show you something here. By mistake, I was sweeping. He got in my way. I said, come on, move. And popped him on the head with the broom, a little tiny dog, you know. He died. And my grandson said, you better pray him back to life or not. I was a deacon in the church. He said, I'm going to tell everybody you killed my dog. And I said, oh, God, you can't let this dog stay dead. You have to bring him back. And I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. And he still laid there with his tongue hanging out. He was all pooped to beat himself. You know, he's dead, you know. And I kept praying. And my grandson kept saying, you better pray harder. You better pray harder. You better bring my dog back. And so after a bit, I felt something way down in my stomach start moving. And I just kept praying. All of a sudden, this little dog, he went, eep, stood up on his feet. His tongue went back in his mouth. And God brought him back from the dead. I didn't quit praying, but I didn't quit praying for this reason. I didn't want my grandson telling the church to hit the dog on the head. That was a good incentive. But still in all, I kept praying. And God answered that prayer and brought that dog back to life. You stop praying too soon. And if you're like me, and I know some of you are, sometimes I'm praying for something I saw, just forget it. I'm tired. I'm going to sleep. I've done that. And then my prayer wasn't answered. And I'm not bragging about that I should never have done that. But I'm just telling you, you might do that sometime too. Just ask God to forgive you and go back to praying and let God answer that prayer then. All right. I'm just trying to tell you, you know, there is a price for miracles. God can use you to perform miracles, but you're going to have faith to believe. I guess fear was at work with the dog, right? Not faith. But still in all, if God can do that for me, he can do that for you. Come on. You know, if he can raise the dead in the Bible, he can raise the dead today. If he can perform all those miracles that he performed in the Bible, he could perform them. He wants to perform today. And look at how many deliverances he did. He wants deliverance done today. He didn't say, well, you come to the church at 5 o'clock and from 5 to 8, we'll say, come out, come out, come out. He didn't say that. Whenever he encountered a devil, he told him to come out and shut up and come out and just go. And that's what we should do. We really should do that. We should just make them come out and go and not have these long, drawn out deliverances that we have. I remember when we first moved in here, we used to do my home too, but we would have 5 or 6 in one night. Within about 2 hours, they were totally and completely set free. We did it upstairs. So why do you have just one for 3 hours and they have to come back for a second visit? And the people stayed free. The power is not there. You are not paying the price. It takes fasting and praying and seeking God's face and talking to Jesus to see the power of God move. And I really think some of you need to quit socializing, put your cell phones away, and just sit in the presence of God and have him tell you what he wants you to do. I don't care what people say about me. I really don't care. Because I know who I am in Christ. Do you know who you are in Christ? Do you know what God's called you to do? See, you have to know that. And I know what God's called me to do, and I know some things he's called me to do are far out. But still in all, if you look in the Bible, you'll find it in the Bible, everything he was ever asked me to do. It's not something that wasn't in the Bible. And I just go ahead and I just trust God. I said, God, you have me covered. You have my back. And I just do whatever God tells me to do. Are you listening? Come on. Do you know that your home can be a miracle place? Miracles can occur in your home, but you're going to have to free it from the devil as you let come in there first. And the devil's not going to want to leave. You're going to have to fight him and get him out of there. But once you get him out of there, then God's glory can rest in your home again. And then when people walk through the door, they're going to be set free. One time, you know, we had a gentleman, you know, my praise and worship leader, and he came in there with a shirt with owls on it or something, you know, and I ripped the shirt off him, said, you can't wear that in the church. Went and got another shirt to put on. He went and told her, but she tore my shirt off of me. But I wasn't going to entertain the devil. We don't do that today, do we? Let the devil come in and sit down right beside us, and we just entertain him all the time. We entertain him this morning, and we just entertain him, just let him do his thing. Not right. Jesus didn't do that. Every place he went, the devil was there. He made the devil leave. Why aren't we doing that? My son, Jesus was full of unadulterated love, and through him, all signs, wonders, and miracles occurred. I can tell you right now, when my love walk wanes, I don't feel the anointing. And if you're honest, you can say the very same thing. When your love walk starts waning, when you start letting people get under your skin, you know it, and your anointing wanes. And if you're smart, you'll hurry up and get back in your love walk real quick. Like God said, you will find in my word where my son admonishes you to be like him. Let's read Luke 6:39. Jesus told them this story. Can a blind man lead another blind man? No, both of them will fall into a ditch. Students are not better than their teacher. But when they have been fully taught, they will be like their teacher. And you, what I see in the body of Christ is once you're taught, then you think you're better than the teacher. And you've just lost your standing with God. And Matthew 28:19 says, so go and make followers. This is Jesus speaking. So go and make followers of all people in the world. Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to obey everything that I have told you to do. You can be sure that I will be with you always. I will continue with you until the end of time. He says, teach them to obey everything that I have told you to do. So you have to know the truth first. And then when you know the truth, then you teach that truth to somebody else. John 13:34 says, I give you a new command. Love each other. You must love each other just as I loved you. All people will know that you are my followers if you love each other. And Matthew 11:29 says, accept my teaching, learn from me. I am gentle and humble in spirit, and you will be able to get some rest. Yes, the teaching that I ask you to accept is easy. The load I give to you, carry, is light. So if you're burdened down all the time, you're carrying something God doesn't want you to carry. Ephesians 5:1, you are God's dear children, so try to be like him. Live a life of love. Love others just as Christ loved us. He gave himself for us, a sweet-smelling offering and sacrifice to God. But there must be no sexual sin among you. There must not be any kind of evil or selfishly wanting more and more, because such things are not right for God's holy people. You need to read that when you get home, Ephesians 5:1-3. Saints or holy ones was a term used in the New Testament to describe followers of Jesus as God's special people. They were holy because they have been made pure through Jesus and belong only to God. And God said, you came for a miracle and you will receive a miracle as you yield your heart to me. This day I want your heart. And God keeps saying he wants our heart. And don't forget that there are many chambers in our heart, just as there are many chambers in God's heart. And some of you still have chambers that you have not yet yielded over to God. I pray every day, God, if there's a chamber in my heart that I have not yielded to you, please take it, because I don't want it. I don't want anything to defile my walk with you. You know, I don't know about you, but I have to talk to myself every day when I get up. I have to tell myself that I'm going to walk holy before the Lord. I have to ask God, God, is there anything in me today? Or I even say to him, God, during the day, if I do anything that's not of you, please correct me, right then. Don't let it stay with me and hinder me. And see, as you do this, and what you're saying, God, is I want all power and all authority that you have. I want to be your child, and I want you to use me with great signs, wonders, and miracles. You know, God is just not going to come and drop on you and say, you need to change. You have to have a desire in your heart to truly change. And then whenever he starts changing you, you can't go back to your old ways. You have to stay changed. And everybody says that God peels you like an onion layer upon layer. And that is very true. I found that to be very true over the years. And so what God does is he'll take one layer of junk off of you and then another layer of junk and then another layer of junk. Because some of us have so much junk in us that if he took it all at one time, wouldn't be anything left of you. Amen, because there's so much junk in there. Now, how many of you in here tonight really want to move in signs, wonders, and miracles? I want you to put your hand. I want you to come up here.